problems, circumstances, situations, predicaments will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. That's where we deal with them. Amen. From the eternal view of our position in Christ. And we're going to hear much more of that coming up. Amen. Of the grace of God, our eternal positioning in Him, what we have, what we can expect, who we are. Hallelujah. All coming up. So sell yourselves and set yourselves. Amen. As Elder William Liverman brings to us the gospel of the grace of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit, let's receive Him with a hearty amen.
The grace and peace of the house of the faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. And thank you, Jesus, for every those that may be on their way. Amen. Thank you for truly another day. Amen. In the essence where we can abide in the essence of Christ. Amen. It's in Him we move, we live. It's in Him we are. Amen. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Amen. In this present evil age, we can just thank God for not only what He has done, amen, but what He even shall do according to His what? Will, plan, and purpose. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, goodness, and mercy. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We thank you, Lord, for the eternal workings of God. We thank you, Lord, that everything works according to purpose. So, Father, right now we ask that Christ be magnified in every area, Father. Let Christ be exalted. Let Christ be magnified. And we ask according to your will that you, oh God, bring your word alive to your people, oh God. And it's not about personality, not about a man or woman. It's all about Christ. So we ask that you will edify your word. Bless us today, Father. We thank you for your goodness and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. At this time, amen, we're ready to get in the best part of the service. All this service is important. But thank God, the essence of the Word of God is what? The priority. The essence of the Word is the preeminence. Amen. Now, at this time, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask, you should have the document. There are two things that you should have today. Amen. If you don't have that, just raise your hand, Brother Randall. We'll assist you. Just raise your hand. We are going to, amen. The document is the distinction between eternity and time. Amen. And right, the next one, right under that, you should have a chart. Very familiar chart. The dispensational chart. We can't show this too many times. Because, in essence, this is to kind of guide us. Amen. And I know before we go any further, thank God for a wonderful, blessed doctrine conference. Amen. That the Holy Spirit, through Pastor, taught, and everyone, those that participated, was a wonderful conference. And we thank you that our souls were fed. And we just thank God for what He did. Amen. Okay. At this time, without any further ado, what we're going to do, I want to read two pages of the document, but I probably won't get that far based upon some other things I want to cover. But what we'll do is this. Let's go right into our scripture. Amen. Deacon Gavin is going to be our reader. Deacon, I want you, okay, I think everyone has the document. Okay, Deacon, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Read both, read King James verse, Deacon, and then you can go right into the interlinear Greek text, please. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, we can really say this is probably our theme scripture at the Grace Gospel Church, because this is where a lot of God's people, in fact, we can talk about that today. God's people are confused, Pastor. God's people don't know the difference between eternity and time. If you don't know the difference between eternity and time, church, you can be saved in your mind. You know, you're saved in eternity. But your cogitation is that, well, am I saved? In time, you were saved in eternity. But if you don't differentiate between those two, then you're going to be tossed to and fro. Amen. Tossed to and fro, and with no stability. Amen. How many know God wants his people to be stable in essence of secure in him? Okay, let's go right into our scripture. Amen.
Reading from the King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 4 by and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
Okay, now, you see, this is one error. This is one reason why, church, we go to the Cyrillic Greek. Because, number one, just reading this on the surface, you would read this, you are saved. You would think that you were saved in time. But now, in the older manuscript, in this case, the Cyrillic Greek, which was written before, we all know the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, amen, and the New Testament was written in what? Greek. See? I say it again. Old Testament, Hebrew, New Testament, what? Greek. Now, you have to go to essence. Okay, we're not beating up on the King James or the other translations, but in essence, to get what, or to understand what the Holy Spirit is conveying to the church. Many times you need to go to the older manuscripts because, again, when they were written, the King James language was not recorded. Prior to 1611, King James did not exist. Amen. So let's observe this. Let's just read this in the Interlinear Greek, okay?
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 from the Interlinear Greek text. For by grace ye are having been saved through faith or faithfulness. This not of you.
What is not of you, church? Tell you what is not of you. Salvation is not of you. Salvation is of Christ. It's of God. We understand that it's of God. Do you finish? Okay, keep going.
This not of you. Of God, the gift.
Of God, the gift. What is God? What's the gift, church? Salvation. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you. And when did he give it to you? Oh, when I got baptized, or when I did whatever. See, when you say I, you destroy grace. Amen. He gave it to you as a gift in eternity. All done according to God. Ephesians 3:11. What motivated God? Why did God do this? Ephesians 3:11, according to God's purpose. His purpose. According to God. Now, looking at the exegesis here, you see there are that word there, church, because again, the King James, they left out their swing, the are. Are is in the present indicative, it's a present fact. What's a present fact? That ye are because you were. You are saved. Why? Because the word saved there is a perfect participle in the passive voice. Now, the perfect participle for what? It's a past completed action with ongoing effects. You are saved in eternity, but it's worked out in time as a result of what God already did for you. You're not working to get saved. Thank God you already saved. Why? It's a perfect participle. It's a completed action with ongoing effects. You are working, the Bible says, working out our salvation. No, we're not working out to initiate anything. We're working out as the eternal decree of what God already did for you. Amen. And the boasting here, that is a error subjunctive, church. The boasting that you is the decree, the degree of boasting or not boasting is tied to the decree. But it goes back to what? Eternity. Notice we've mentioned now. You are saved, you were saved in eternity, the key word eternity, but what? The Holy Spirit causes us in the time processes, in these testimonial incremental depictions, working out in time to reflect what God has already did for you in eternity. But here's the problem. Notice three times I mentioned eternity and time. That's the problem. God's people cannot differentiate between those two. And if you don't understand the difference between eternity and time, you'll be confused because you have them all intertwined. So I'm going real slow today. I mean, I want to finish this in 1 hour, but if it takes me until next time, amen. I'm going to go real slow. Let's go to the document. Amen. This is a document that Pastor wrote some time ago on the distinction between eternity and time. Okay? The distinction between eternity and time. I believe everyone's read it. Time is transitory presence in contrast to eternity, which is abiding presence. Due to the fact that time presently coexists with creation as created functions in eternity, mankind, who is a creature of time, has difficulty differentiating between them. See? Man, it's difficulty based upon... Let's keep reading. There are those whose conception of eternity is as an eternal duration. However, duration conveys that which is measurable as contrasted with eternity, which is immeasurable. Immeasurable, church. The word duration depicts continuance in time or some length of time during which something continues or exists. Eternity is not correctly expressed by the use of terminology which invents even measurable increments. In this sense, even to refer to eternity as the extension of duration will convey an endless succession of measurable units of time. In this view, eternity would be gradually running out of time, but eternity can neither be shortened nor lengthened. So let's stop here. Church, anything that can be demarcated in terms of lengthening or shortening, you're not in eternity. Because eternity is timeless. There's no clock in eternity. Well, somebody said, why do we have a clock here? For we are in physicality. God invented the clock for purpose. So that as we go through these depictions in the matrix, we have some measurement that we need to communicate in this time, but this is not the catalyst, the beginning. This is on a process of what God has already decreed. So in essence, church, time, eternity is timeless. God is timeless. Timeless. Not captivated by time. And we're going to see some examples in a few minutes where even in Jesus' physical abode, he wasn't captivated by time. He's the creator. He's God. Amen. But God created time for purpose. And one day, the Bible says over there in Revelation, and time shall be no more. What does it mean, church? When the purpose of time has been fulfilled, God is going to remove time out of here. In fact, there will be no more, quote, time capsule. It'll be because everything would be where it always was is what in eternity. Time was created what by God for purpose. Next paragraph. It is even erroneous to conceptualize eternity as whole at once because it cannot possibly be quantified by the term present. Illustration wise, when any specific entity is currently present, its past and future doesn't exist. Y'all see that? In other words, at the point an entity is present, all others must be either past or future. Therefore, there cannot currently exist 100 present years. When one considers the factuality of this statement, durations of year, month, day, hour, minute, second, conclusively demonstrate that the present actually has no length at all, as it can only be quantified as an instantaneity. In this sense, one cannot speak of either past or future as having any reality, as such can only be actualized in eternity. The present alone has no reality except as eternity may be expressed as the immeasurable present. Eternity, the immeasurable present. You cannot measure eternity. Amen. There are no increments in eternity. Amen. Because see, when you say God created time, so the moment you put a measurement in eternity, now you're trying to measure God. And God is immeasurable, but he's God. So don't try to measure God. You know, the example in the doctrine conference, but you know, I love it. You know, wow, you start in the airplane, and then you move up to the solar, the sun, the solar system. As you continue to move out the universe, everything is still in God. But somebody say, can God, somebody say, suppose you get out there where you get all the way, let's say a trillion years from now, you get all the way to the end. Impossible, because now you're trying to put limits on God. God is immeasurable. Why? He's God. There are, third paragraph. There are vague expressions of eternity in Old Testament scriptures, as when God spoke of the eternality as I am, referenced in Exodus 3:14. The statement, I was, will convey the meaning that he is not now what he was. Furthermore, the statement, I will be, will convey the meaning that he is not yet what he will be. The chief inadequacy of the assignment of actualization in time is that there is no span that will stay still long enough to authenticate the reality of anything. Hence, the inevitable conclusion is that eternity is not like time, which is as a rainbow dissipating at both ends. Eternity does not flow at the present, which cannot be endured. The past, as some would have already been used up, or the future, which cannot be certified, but as the immeasurable abiding. Let's start with the immeasurable abiding, church. Immeasurable. The moment I stood up here, I think, 15 minutes ago, guess what? That's gone. Right? Hey, that's gone. And the moment I said that, that's gone. The moment when you left the house this morning, coming to church, that's gone. So everything is now. But now are we in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2. Not time past, but now. But somebody said, well, when I die and go to heaven, then I'd be in Christ. No. God is just going to move your conscience from what? The earth to what? Where it always has been. The heaven is in Christ. Always. Thank you. Last paragraph. There is a difference between the succession of events in time, notice, and the intensity of experiences in eternity. The intensity of experience will develop the manifestation of extensity when time ceases to exist. The word extensity denotes the quality of having extension or the attitude of sensation by which spatial pertains to space, which also involves time, extension is perceived. The word intensity refers to the quality or condition of being intense. Extreme, absolute in degree, power, or effect, as the essential quality of eternity is intensity rather than extensity. Even though the anthropomorphic axioms everlasting and age enduring are the widely accepted descriptive terminology conveyed in the scriptures, to think of length as the essence of eternal life is to suppose that the reality of it is to be measured by how long it lasts. And I believe that's your page run out there, but that's okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go real slow on this, because here's where the problem that God's people have, and we'll go back to the document. You don't have the next page. Depending upon how time goes, I'll just go in and read the second page. But I didn't want to overwhelm you with it, because we're going to refer to some things on the dispensation chart as well. Now, it's amazing, because since we're talking about time, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit worked, because I was watching the news a few days ago, and it mentions that right now, when we take an account, when we say a person is, quote, 50 years of age, we'll say, well, they probably say use from maybe they're mature. They're not, quote, young, and not old, so we use the term 50. Now, when a person gets, our stepfather, Papa Herbert Johnson, went on to be the Lord April 26, 2015. 93, they all say, oh, yeah, he's old. It's interesting. As we speak, the oldest person recorded, not only in the United States, the oldest person recorded in the world lives in Inkster, Michigan, by the name of Geraldine Talley. And she was born May 23rd, 1899. So whenever she leaves the time capsule, and I don't think there's no one else born this year, that means that there will be no one on the earth that was born prior to the year 1900. Now, why do we say this? If you look at Say, somebody say, oh, she's 116 years old. That's so old. Compared to what? See, we just throw things out there. Now, okay, yes, old compared to what we measure in time. But what God's, you can't even measure eternity, but compared to eternity, it's a many, many drop in the ocean. Let's look at some specifics. Miss Tally would be 116 years old this coming Friday. So what I did, just for simple numerics, I just based these figures, I'm going to give you right now, based on 116 years, okay? Which is just a few days short of 116 years. 116 years, church, is 1,392 months. Somebody said, that's a lot. Again, compared to what? 100 years is 1,200 months. But again, but let's look at Miss Taylor here. Miss Taylor, 116 years equates to 42,368.0951 days. Those are the number of days that, now thank God, that Miss Taylor has been on the earth. Now here's where God's people confuse eternity with time. Now, in terms of the measurements of God's purpose, yes, God has measured out almost 116 days to Miss Tally, lives in Eastern Michigan. But now, the confusion is this. That's the measurement in the what? Her conscience moves in the matrix. That's the measurement in time for God's testimony of purpose. Is those years, your age. Look at the time that you've been on the earth. Your conscience bears witness that you are a certain age. Amen. Which is a the reflection of God's decree in eternity, and the purpose of God's purpose in eternity is what? The time capsule is represented by what? Your age. Now, looking at this further, if you take the world's oldest person, I'm going to go slow on this because somebody said, before I'm about to say somebody said, Pastor Elder, let me a month off. I'm going real slow. If you're looking at eternity, now, in terms of measure, different things have been measured out to us based upon what? God's purpose. Now, from the eternal view, since eternity is timeless, there's no difference. Now, there's no difference in 1899 and 2015. Because they're both what? They're in the time capsule, but in terms of time, eternity, there's no time in eternity. Time is a creation, church, but there's no time in eternity. And then I thought about it, wait a minute, if there's no time in eternity, that means, again now, from the eternal view, there's no difference between a child that's 1 year old and Miss Taylor, who's 116 years old, from the eternal view, because that's the view where there's no time. So if there's no time, that means there's no measurement. So let's take it further. In essence, my grandson Jamie, there's no difference from the eternal view than his age than Miss Tally. From the eternal view, because there's no time. Time is now. But now are we in Christ Jesus? So it is not. In fact, it's interesting. I was reading this article about Miss Helen. She said, somebody said, what's your secret? She said, it is not in my hand, but God's hands. Hallelujah. She said, it is not, in the, you know. And see, now somebody said, oh, she must eat so many vitamins. And she must watch her diet and do all this. Well, that's part of the process. But you just can't say you're going to eat right and doesn't cause you to be, live 100 years old. Because there was a testimony of a person in Florida years ago that lived to be 102. In fact, you Google Florida, and she said, what's your secret? I ate three strips of bacon a day for 50 years. That was her secret. Three strips of bacon a day for 50 years. And here's the problem. Somebody else will try to do that, and you go to the doctor. He said, your blood pressure jumping up. You have a stroke. You trying to do what someone else did. No. It's not about the bacon. It's about God's purpose. It's not about the transactions in time. It's not about the transactions. It's what was transcripted in eternity. So in essence here, her conscience just moves through those frames, and it gives witness, testimony, depictions that she's 116 years of age. But that's what? For time, the moving your conscience through those frames. For testimonial purposes. Which goes back to that decree. Now, you won't get this. Here, go to the chart, church. Here, real quick. Go to the chart. I'm sorry, we're going to go back and forth. Now, stay in your gospel. You see this here? Real quick, let's flip over the chart. Time passed. God spoke through. See, time passed. All the events that occurred, time passed, right? But now is what? Our gospel. But now what? The mystery of Christ revealed. Ages to come. The information that I'm giving you now, church, is from Paul's epistles, the mystery. Deacon Gavin's been teaching for 3 years on the mystery. What's the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. The information that it's not me, the Holy Spirit. He gets all the credit. The information that we are discussing today, you won't get this information from other parts of the Bible. And we're going to show before the hour's up how you go to the other parts of the Bible for doctrine, and you'll get confused because you're trying to go to the other parts of the Bible where you have less information. Amen. Now, let's go further in terms of the eternity and God in sequence. There's no sequence in eternity. No sequence in church. So, there's no sequencing. But now we're in Christ Jesus. The sequencing is for testimonial purposes only. The sequence is the manifestation in time what God had already purposed in eternity. So when going back to Miss Taylor, her conscience moving through those frames, when your conscience entered that frame was placed there for a purpose. Whatever you go through right now, that frame was placed there for a purpose. April 26th, Herbert Johnson entered the frame. I was tying my tie coming to the family friends. His conscience entered that frame. Again, it was there all the time. God just didn't put the frame there. It was placed there in eternity, but our conscience just caught up with what God had already purposed in eternity. And when Papa's conscience entered the frame, absent from the body, present with the Lord, God moved his conscience from the earth back to where it was always in the eternities in Christ Jesus. God just moved his conscience. As we move further, you see, the key, church, you have to be convinced that God controls time. He created time. How in the world can the Creator, not control anything that he created? But if you are convinced that God controls time, hallelujah, that everything that's associated with time, he controls. Now, let's go here. Now notice, I said God controls time. Okay? God controls time, but he manifests his workings through sequential testimony depictions that's in these frames for our consciousness to resonate with, to reflect God's purpose. Somebody said, I was driving, all of a sudden, have you all ever had a situation, we've all been there, you woke up and all of a sudden you planned a certain thing and something happened to you that you had no thought, what happened on this day? That frame was there, and whatever that was, you lost your job, you maybe got a raise, I don't know, had a car accident. Husband be kind of snap at your wife, vice versa. Whatever happened, it went down. What happened? The frame was already there. But your conscience just caught you made a, you were aware by God's what? Moving your conscience in that frame. But now, keep this in mind now, going further. And I thought about this. If God controls time. So God can do time what he wants for his purpose. Last week, let's look at another situation about time. I was watching on the internet. I was doing some work studying for this message a couple of weeks ago. And on the internet, there was a term, church, that was called, the term was called progeria. And let me share a couple of things about this, because it really has everything to do with God's purpose in eternity versus time. Now, when I was teaching school, I taught a course once called genetics. For those that don't know, genetics is nothing but the science that deals with heredity and the things that pass on from the parents to the offspring. And I was amazed by that. So I saw this clip where this child had progeria, and progeria is nothing but basically a child that has an acceleration in their age to the point that they may be 2, but they look like they're 20. Progeria. Now, so here I'm having my science cap on. I said, well, you know, genetics. And about 2 days later, I said, you know, the genetics, the genetic defect. But now, God didn't speak to me, you know, a lot of times. I'm weird. People say, God spoke to me. God told me this. God told me that, Pastor. You know, so I said, oh, God spoke to me. But it was like the Lord that's quick in my heart. It was like, come out of physicality and get into spirituality. See, the Lord, I'm not beating up on science. He knows us. He created us. See, my science motivation and anything, I say, okay, give me the evidence. But we know God doesn't need that. His word, right? But when I saw that, the only thing that resonated in my mind was the child had a what? Had a birth defect. Now, progeria is the body is growing 8 times faster than the normal rate. Many children, many times, they don't live beyond 10 years of age. Many times there's an 8-to-1 ratio, meaning that if they are 2, they are 20. If they are 3, they are 30. So let's say a child gets to be like 8 years old. They're only 8 years old in terms of their age, but they have the appearance of an 80-year-old. I'm going real slow because this has everything to do with purpose. Now, the disease comes from the Greek word prios, meaning old. It's a biological process where basically age is accelerated. Now, I'm going real slow. Is God hands held to show that if a person is 8 years old, they have to look 8? I mean, if a person, nah, you know, for the most part, depend upon factors, but most children that are 8, they look in that range, maybe in the 7 to 9, right? But a child that's 8 looking 80, somebody said, oh, that's a physical defect. Now you're caught up in physicality. All that happens, church, for God's purpose, is God moved their conscience at an accelerated rate to once that frame hits 7 years of whatever age, the child may be 8, but they're looking as if they are 70 or 80 based upon God's purpose. Their conscience moves to those frames. In other words, they skip frames. Somebody said, you probably... No, no. God, for his purpose, caused those frames to be stiff. So that, in essence, God was not sequentially going by what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, sequentially. God is not sequentially doing everything in sequentially order, as we call. But the disorder that we perceive is still order tied to God's purpose. So if a child is 9 and they look like they're 80, they're still according to God. God just skipped those frames. So time, God basically controlled time. And most of these kids don't live, by the way, they don't live long. In fact, listen to this. You know the kind of disease they have before they die? Heart stroke, heart disease, arthritis, baldness. The same physical ailments that encounter most people, you know, in the 70s and 80s. All God did again. God is not captivated, tied to having to always move frame from frame, so our conscience resonates. God can skip trillions of frames if he wants to. He's God, church. I see. You know what? Let's corroborate something. Church, God is God. He created time. Amen. Now, what's the purpose in this? To know that God controls everything. Even controlling time. God does not have to do what's sovereignty? God does what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. Now, let's corroborate something, because I sense that some of y'all are looking for some more evidence. Just bear with me. Go to John chapter 6. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Go to John chapter 6. See, here's the problem. God's people. God's people, see, because of our limited thinking, we have a tendency to what? Limit God. God is for sovereignty. God does what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. He's God. Now let's look at this account here. Very familiar story. John chapter 6. Let's read 16 through 21. I tell you what, no. I tell you what, there's one scripture that we need to convey before we do that. Before we go there, we're going to go to John 9 first. Notice, go to the chart. If you look at the chart class, now, we're going to an area. I tell you, go to your chart real quick. Let's flip over to the chart. We're going to John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. Now, when I go here, the fact that I said John, you know what should radiate in your mind? This is time past. It's not part of our gospel. You know, the mystery. So whatever you read, you're reading here, church, you are reading limited information based on what's in that covenant. You're only going to get the information that's in that covenant. So let's suppose, now we talked about a defect. We just gave an example of a child that has what they call progeria, which is a what? Physical defect. That what? Oh, by the way, there's only, I think I mentioned, there's only about 150 cases. It's the rarest disease in the world. But why would God allow a child that's 4 years old to look like they're 50? Why? Now you're God's business. He's God. He does what he wants to do, church. But it's all according to God. Now, I'm going to show you that. Let's look at the danger of going outside your contract for direction. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 3. You can go ahead and read this, please. They asked him, yeah, go ahead.
We're reading from the book of John, the 9th chapter, beginning verse 1, King James Version. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind, which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
The works of God. The church, notice. What motivated the disciples to ask that question? Lord, who did sin, this man, this child, or his parents? In other words, the child, let's face it, the child had a genetic defect. What? The baby was born blind. Now, based on the information in those covenants, come on, church, you would think, I wasn't there, but they said, Lord, who did sin, this man, or this? Or this what? This man or the parent? You know, the baby or the parents? Who sinned? Somebody sinned. In other words, their conclusion was that the baby was blind because somebody sinned. They were looking at the information, those covenants. And again, I'm sure they read Ezekiel, maybe some others, that God said, I will visit the iniquities on the children up to the fourth and fifth generation. I will visit the iniquities. So they based that information and they say, well, look, God is visiting the iniquities on this child based upon the parent's sin. If they did not ask that question, what motivated them to ask that question? Because their summation was that somebody messed up. So in those covenants, church, you're going to read this and you'll say, oh, the child, somebody messed up. Why? Because in those covenants, the conveyance is, if you don't do right, God's going to get you. Church, that's the conveyance of those covenants. Now, you take that thinking, what did Jesus say? He said, neither this man sinned, the baby did not sin, or the parents. What? The works of God is the purpose of God, his workings, the glory of God. In other words, the baby was born blind, the infant was born blind, according to God's purpose, not according to anything the parents did. Everything is according to God. But where do you get that information? In your chart. But now. Time passed. But now. The mystery. According to God. Everything is according to God. But understand, we know that the mystery was hidden from times past. So they didn't have the reference that we have today. They could only base their conclusion on the knowledge that they had in those covenants. See? So, and you bring that right there, but notice the first scripture that Deacon Gavin read was salvation. For by grace ye are having been saved. And that your knowledge of salvation, you are saved, you were according to God's purpose. You take that thinking right down to life. And when you have a down day, a bad day, you didn't have the bad day per se on the end of error that you made. Yes, it manifests that way, but the root cause of that is that what? According to God's purpose. How many bad days have people had and the result was good? How many people had, man, they said, I had a deal making, I didn't know what to do, I just did this, and it worked out okay. According to purpose. And then you plan something, you stay there for a whole month trying to dot every T, trying to cross everything, in your mind it's all perfect. All of a sudden you go through it and it collapses. It's according to purpose. Everything is according to God. Now, let's look at another area where we're talking about time and how God controls time. Bear with me 8 more minutes. In terms of time, let's go back to John. We're going to corroborate another essence that God controls time, church. John 16-21. God controls time. Yes, go ahead. You can maybe begin reading now. Yes.
Now, from the 6th chapter of John, beginning verse 16.
Yes.
And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went.
Wait a minute, church. Wait a minute, church. Jesus was on the boat. Now, I know in terms of the normal process of times, now, I don't know how long it took. It took a period of time for them to actually move the boat. You know, they were rowing the boat I'm sure they did it many times, from the sea to what the land. But the Bible says the moment Jesus was in the boat, immediately the boat was on the land. Come on, church. God is not captivating. Now, somebody, suppose it took them an hour to row the boat. Row the boat. But according to God's purpose, Now, we don't know what God does. Everything God does not do things half-assed like we do a lot of times. We can only submit. Now, I'm sure they're probably tired. They said, Lord, we can't do anything. Whatever was God's purpose, God moved that boat through those springs, and the boat landed on land. He moved the boat. The boat landed on land. Somebody said, did that really happen? Are you kidding? Did it happen? How could God do this? How could Jesus do that? He's God. He's the creator. He created time so he can do in time what he created. Why? Because he created. So God just moved that boat. Boom. Through those springs. And it landed according to God. And I'm sure, and I don't know, I mean, I can only speculate now, you know. I'm sure another time, you know, human nature, depravity. I'm sure probably another incident, when the Bible did say there are so many things that Jesus did that even all the books they couldn't contain. I'm sure some of those disciples, this is just my opinion now, you know. I'm sure sometime before they left the earth, they would be in the same situation. They said, come on, Lord, move the boat again. They probably rolled for hours. But in this case, it was according to God. Now, it's so important to understand that God controls time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? Because in time, let's close on the scripture. Go to Colossians 1:16. Did you read? Let's go right into the Greek. Understand, let's be real slow. God controls time. He created time. Time is a creation. And he created time for his purpose. In time, we have these depictions that give us testimony of what God has done for us in eternity. You came to church here? God already decreed that you'd be here. You go to work tomorrow, God decreed that you go to work tomorrow. And many of you have retired, and I thought about this retirement. Think about, see how you take this information and carry right down life. You retire, some of you 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, when the purpose of that job, wherever it was, when that purpose in that job was fulfilled, you retire. We have brothers and sisters and others who are being persecuted for their faith. Amen. Why is that? Why is that that we can come to church in America? And by the way, not to be, you know, the way the freedom we have, we should never have to have the attitude, well, it's going to always be this way. Says who? Come on, church. God controls everything. But according to his purpose, we can come to church and what? Worship Jesus. But why some of our brothers and sisters have to almost worship underground with the fear of losing their life? Right. It's still according to God.
That's right.
Why some of our brothers right now, somewhere in the world, may have a gun, you denounce Jesus. Say, I don't believe in Jesus. According to God. And we have, see, many times, you know, we said, you put salvation time, you'll make up stuff. There was a saying years ago teaching that if any person deny Jesus, hey, you are, you know, you're hell bound. Well, that's Peter. You don't know what you do in a moment of fear. I say when somebody, if they ever put me in a position where, okay, Lillman, here's a gun. Okay, say you do, either you say deny Christ or you're dead. Well, it's according to God. If God gives me the enablement, I say no. Jesus is mine. But if God does not arrest my depravity, I'm gonna say, okay, hey, listen, I don't know him. Now it's living, you're going to hell. Salvation, you got in time, church. Salvation is not about what occurs in time. But I'll say, Lord, give me the grace. You can't take the big shot saying, well, you don't know what you do. You see what happens? But either way, whatever comes down, it's all according to God. Ephesians 1:16, we'll close on this verse here.
Now from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16, interlinear Greek text. Because in him were created the all or all things in the heavens and on the earth,
yes,
the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Have been created, church. Time is a created entity by God. And we just gave some examples that God controls time. He controls time because he created time. Now here's the good news. The fact that God created time, I close on this, that means that he created time, he controls time. That means that he controls everything that's associated with time. He controls your life, your family, your job, your finances. Everything that touches your life is controlled by God because all those things are embedded in the time capsule. And because they're in the time capsule, and as long as you stay in this earth, we are in the time capsule. Everything associated in the time capsule is controlled by God. And if that being the case, we can truly say, time is in him, controlled by him. Everything that's associated with time, my job, my family, my finances, whether the Lord wants to send me wherever, whatever goes down. As you move through these sequential testimony depictions, whatever is reflected, that light that flows through the matrix, whatever awareness God gives you, understand that that situation that may seem to be so overwhelming, a disease, a illness, of a situation in your finances, God put that there for purpose for you to give testimony to the fact that this situation, this endeavor, this thinking, everything is controlled by God, and that is why the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.